They're one of my top five favorite bands. My goodness. All right, well, we don't have a lot of music talk tonight on the show, but we
never know what's going to come up.
I know, you really never do. But we do have a ton of great things coming up tonight, including Cecil Shorts and his wife, Chanel Shorts. Cecil is going to be breaking down the receiving corps for us, and Chanel is actually going to join us in studio, give us a little bit of insight on what it's like to be an NFL wife. And Donna, I'm sure you appreciate being a mom. I mean, I'm sure she's got some great stories. She's got two kids of her own. And we have a special guest in studio tonight, don't we?
We do. We do. I'm hoping that Chanel brings, you know, their children in tow as well, as I have little man JT right behind me watching some Mickey Mouse Clubhouse.
He is really into that Mickey Mouse Clubhouse, too.
He is. You can... And he won't do nothing.
No, he's literally pointing at the TV screen as we talk and try and snap at him. But ladies, I want to jump right into this. I don't want to call it a quarterback debate or controversy. It's just an interesting question that's really started to rise because Blake Bortles has played so well in these first two preseason games. We've obviously talked a lot about it on the Frangie Show and just 1010XL in general, but I want each one of you to weigh in because I'm curious of your opinions. Blake Bortles versus Chad Henne, who should start Game one against Philly, especially considering that Blake Bortles has had two really solid preseason games? Lauren, I'll start with you.
Well, I think if you believe in the process and the system, and I do believe in what Coach Gus Bradley and General Manager Dave Caldwell are building, so I'm going to say it has to be Chad Henne. They put their faith in him to be the starting quarterback, not just week one, but so far they've said, you know, at least for the beginning of the season. And while Blake has played well, I think he still has his moments where he looks like a rookie. Yes, he gets the ball out pretty quickly. Yes, he can read through progressions. His movement in the pocket against the Bears was unbelievable. However, there are still times I think that it looks like it is his first time in the NFL, and those are growing pains he'll work through. So for my opinion, I think Chad is the right guy as a starter, and he's has the relationships with the receivers as well, like, of course, veteran Cecil Shorts, whom we'll hear from in a little bit.
D-Murph, obviously you have not had the chance to be out at training camp, but I'm sure you've watched these first two preseason games. For you, as a Jaguar fan, which camp do you kind of stand in right now, the Chad Henne or the Blake Bortles?
No, well, actually, and I'm going to start off by I'm not going to compare them to when it was Drew Bledsoe and Tom Brady right behind him. But to me, I know what Chad Henne has, and we've seen it. And I don't want this to turn into, well, there goes our rookie quarterback again. We threw him in the fire too soon, everything like that. So I agree with what Lauren is saying. I love how Bortles has shined, and we're pleasantly surprised because we're expecting the Gabbert and all, really, again?
Right.
So I think
JT agrees with you.
Yes, he does. I think Henne, and I would love to see Bortles start at least – if nothing goes wrong, I would say maybe, you know, week five.
I'm going to guess that JT wants Mickey Mouse to start at quarterback for the Jaguars. But unfortunately, that is not an option, Blythe. Bortles or Henne, what say you?
I say Henne. I think we felt comfortable all this season or all this offseason with Henne starting just because it feels like with this year there is a plan in place. And, you know, halfway through the season, if something happens, you know, we're 0-6 or 0-7. I think you got to put Bortles in just to get him that playing time, just because with the new CBA, they have such a shortened practice time and training camp sessions. So I really think that the playing time is important, but it feels comfortable knowing that we have a plan with Henne in place.
Yeah, I think we're all on the same page. I mean, Bortles has looked amazing these first two games, which I think has been a pleasant surprise. I don't think anyone thought he would be where he is at this point. But Chad Henne has earned the right to start for this team. I think he's earned being the opening day starter. I agree with you, Donna. We've just lived through what happens when a rookie gets thrown into the fire way too soon. And it was kind of a disaster. Mm-hmm. And nobody wants to see
or
that
did he just
happen
suck?
Again. Well, after watching some of San Francisco's preseason games, then yeah, maybe it just wasn't that great. But
I hope he's not listening.
Blaine Gabbert, if you're listening to Helmets and Heels on a Tuesday night at 7:04, we're sorry.
This is your life.
But the Jaguars did get some good news over the weekend. Cecil Shorts returned to practice, was able to get back out on the practice field after being sidelined for a majority of training camp.
I think actually since my birthday, I heard them say July 25th.
So. Yeah, it's been a while. It's been a while. Obviously frustrating, but so good to get Cecil back out. He was held out of practice today, but that was more precautionary. They don't want that hamstring injury to flare back up. And I talked to Cecil today in the locker room, and he said, yeah, let's get it all out of the way now so that I'm ready to go for the start of the regular season. But obviously, as many of you know, Cecil Shorts is a wide receiver for the Jacksonville Jaguars. And initially, when you think of a wide receiver, you probably just think to yourself, all right, someone who goes out there and catches the ball from the quarterback.
And hopefully catches it better than I did over the weekend, yeah. Causing a slight discoloration and swelling of my index finger.
That does not look good.
I did my best Cecil Shorts impression at the beach, and unfortunately I did not have a chat at any of Blake Bortles.
Yeah, well, luckily Cecil does catch the ball a little bit better than Lauren Brooks.
Way better.
But we wanted to, as we usually do, bring you a football 101 here on Helmets and Heels, and this week we decided to go after the wide receiver position. So here is Cecil Shorts breaking down the position that he plays for the Jacksonville Jaguars. I'm joined by Jaguars wide receiver Cecil Shorts. All right, Cecil, when you think of a wide receiver, you think guy that catches the ball. Pretty self-explanatory, but there are other responsibilities that a receiver has out on the field. What are those?
Well, number one is catching the ball. Besides that, though, we are very important in a run game. We have to block. We have to understand where we need to be, who we need to block. Not just catching the ball, you got to be a good route runner. You got to understand where the quarterback wants you, where he's supposed to be, a certain timing that happens. You got to understand the coverage that's going on out there. If it's cover two, if it's cover one, if it's cover six, if it's cover seven. You got to be able to watch the safeties at the line. So a lot of people just think we get to the line and look at the ball. When we get to the line, we're looking at the safeties, looking at the corner, looking at the linebackers, looking at the quarterback. He might give us this hand signal, or he might bring us down to block a safety or something like that. So you got to be very aware.
And receivers can line up in a couple of different spots. What are the differences between a slot receiver and an outside receiver?
Well, a slot receiver, you're inside of the formation. So, for example, if we have three guys to the right side, it would be a spread right or trips right. Trio right, it'll be a tight end, it'll be a slot receiver, which is our H, and then it'll be a Z. And a slot receiver is more of a shifty guy, more of a guy you want to match up on a bigger guy. So you might have a safety coming down to check you guy, and it's a mismatch. It's like A. Sanders on, you know, a bigger safety, a nice, quicker guy that can get up the field and make a play. So that's the difference, I would say.
You mentioned the H. What is the H and the X and the Y and the Z?
The Z is the receiver to the strong side, so the Z will always be with the tight end. So say we have double right, which is two receivers on each side, so the Y and Z will go to the right side, and then the H and X will go to the left side. So that's 2x2 formation. And the Z usually goes to the called side or the strong side of the formation. So it's double right, it goes to the right. Now the X usually goes the opposite, backside of the formation. So if it's double right, he'll go to the left. If it's trips right, he'll go to the left. If it's trips left, he'll go to the right. So you get more of the single matchups on that side. But in any formation, especially with Jay's offense, he can turn things around and have, you know, X and Z on the same side. So the X can be the slot or the Z can be the slot. He can have X and Z switch sides. We call it a swap. So it's a lot of things you can do with X, H, and Y. So it's pretty fun.
Why can a receiver line up on the line of scrimmage or off the line of scrimmage?
Depending on if the tight end's on your side, who's on the ball. When you're on a receiver to that side, if you're a Z receiver, you're usually off the ball because the tight end's on the ball. But if the tight end gets off, then the Z receiver has to get on. So if you're by yourself, if you're the X receiver, you're always on the ball.
All right, let's go through a couple of routes real quick that you would hear concerning a receiver. What's a screen?
A screen is a short pass that really happens, I guess you could say, in the backfield. But a receiver can run up the field and then come back in the backfield. And the screen is your lineman will come out. So say the screen left, your lineman will come out pulling to the left. You have a guard and a tackle, maybe a tight end running to your left side, trying to set up a wall for you to run down the sideline.
What about a go route?
That's kind of self-explanatory. Just a go route. Mainly, we run go routes when it's press coverage, so if it's press man. And the key thing for that for a receiver is getting off the press. If you get off the line of scrimmage, you can run down the field, you're good to go.
Post.
Post route, one of my favorite routes. It's a deeper route going down the field. It can vary between 12 to 18 yards. And really, you're going to stay vertical. You're going to stick your outside foot in the ground, and you're going to head straight towards the goalposts. And usually, it's a big play in the game.
What's the most important thing that people should know about wide receivers?
The most important thing people should know about wide receivers, I guess it's more to it. The first question you had was more to it than catching the ball. You got to understand the whole concept of the play. You have to know what the defense is doing. You have to study film and understand if it's third and three, they're going to be in man coverage. You know what I mean? They're not going to sit back and cover four when it's only 3 yards to go. You know what I mean? You got to understand the whole concept. You got to understand what's going on the field. You got to be aware and you got to be smart.
Thanks so much, Cecil.
Hey, no problem. Thanks for having me.
All right, that was Jaguar wide receiver Cecil Shorts. And I have to admit, of the football 101s we've had so far, that one got a little bit more into detail and more into depth, but we really appreciate how thorough Cecil wanted to be.
Especially without having a chalkboard or a blackboard
right
there. I mean, that's really incredible that he was able to describe it in such a way that you could really understand.
It's much easier to break down probably a lot of stuff with the receiving core and routes and so forth when you have a chalkboard. And Cecil was all about that. He said, let me know when you want to do it.
I will
mark out routes for you. I will show you where everyone lines up. And we hope to make that happen because we want to bring you as much information as possible. But let's recap a few of the things that Cecil said, just because we want to make sure that everyone listening understands what it is we are talking about. So a wide receiver is not just a guy that catches the ball. He is a guy that has more responsibilities on the field, in particular blocking responsibilities in the run game. When Cecil was mentioning having to read defenses, having to recognize cover two, cover three, etc., that references how safeties and secondaries or safeties and corners in the secondary can line up to defend offenses. So when you hear the word cover two, that's a defensive scheme. A slot receiver versus an outside receiver. Now, an outside is pretty self-explanatory. Those
right
guys are going to line up on the outside. A slot receiver, you can just think of it as an inside receiver. He's usually a bigger guy, a shiftier guy. He's going to create a mismatch. So he's a guy that's probably going to be able to line up well in man-to-man coverage and get a lot of yards after catch because he's going to be that bigger body.
An Allen Robinson.
Exactly.
For the Jaguars.
Exactly. And then you hear the Z versus the X. The Z is going to be your strong side receiver. So a couple weeks ago when we talked to Paul Puzlesny, and he mentioned that your strong side linebacker lines up against the tight end, while your strong side receiver is going to line up alongside the tight end. And then the X is going to be your weak side receiver. And then you heard, lastly, trips right. That's just an offensive formation. That's when three receivers line up on one side. So,
and then your X is going to be on the opposite side.
With your tight end, exactly. So we hope that we kind of help break that down just a little bit. I know that one got a little bit more in depth, but again, a big shout out and a thank you to Cecil Shorts. As soon as we get that video going, we are going to get that up for you so you can understand even further the role of a wide receiver and what they do out on the field. But coming up next, we're going to keep it in the family. Cecil's wife, Chanel, is going to join us and talk all about being an NFL wife and an NFL mom. So keep it right here. You are listening to Helmets and Heels on 1010XL and 92.5 FM.
You're listening to Helmets and Heels on 1010XL, 92.5 FM.
Welcome back to Helmets and Heels. Chanel Shorts, wife of Jaguars wide receiver Cecil Shorts, is set to join us in just a few minutes. But before we do that, D. Murph, you came up with an interesting idea today, and I absolutely love it, and I think it's a lot of fun. Explain real quick what you're about to take us through.
All right. Well, I am very big on watching any red carpet, any award show.
You and Frank Frangie have that in common.
Love it. I love the Oscars. I love all of them, mainly because I want to see my Tom Hanks win, but that hasn't happened in a while. Anyway. So the Emmys, the primetime Emmys, are this Sunday night. And so because of that, I went ahead and took a couple of the categories and made them into NFL versions.
I like it.
I love it.
So I had you guys, obviously, I told you ahead of time, make sure that, because this was difficult on some of them. And so the first one, you know, best comedy, I figured, well, best comedy team, which team will be the laughing stock of the season?
Blythe, you had a good one. I'll let you start.
I'm going to go with Cowboys. I think watching the shenanigans with the Cowboys on and off the field with Jerry Jones and all of his situations, it makes me very thankful to have Shad Khan as our owner. Very
yes,
thankful.
Good call.
And I feel like we kind of need to explain, we've taken Cleveland and Johnny Manziel out of the running because I think we all wanted to give pretty much all of the awards to Cleveland and Johnny Manziel, especially considering his most recent shenanigans and hijinks from last night.
just makes my Johnny Bag word work perfectly.
It really does.
Perfectly.
It really does. So, but I think Dallas, I actually
cursed him.
I think that's a really good call, considering that when Dallas sent out their tickets for the season, it included playoff tickets. And what, Dallas has won one playoff game in recent years. So, and something always ends up going wrong. Either Tony Romo throws a last minute interception or whatever it is. But so Dallas is a good one. I think I'm going to go with the Texans. And the reason that I say so is because they drafted Jadeveon Clowney, number one overall. They're supposed to have this incredible defense, but they've still got a ton of issues on offense. They got shut out in their first preseason game, which, how does that happen? I mean,
happened to the 49ers.
How does an incredible defense that the Texans are supposed to have allow, what was it, 32, 34 points, something like that? And the Texans can't even get in field goal range? Or so I'm going to say the Texans, after all of these draft selections and this you know, vaunted defense, I'm going to pick Houston to be the comedy of the year.
Lauren?
I actually thought about Houston for this very same reason, that all season they were going to be kind of kicking themselves for not drafting Blake Bortles. But I'll go Vikings. You know, they've been saying here in town that two quarterbacks means you don't have one. Well, for them, they have three quarterbacks, and I really don't think they have one. No offense to those three boys, but I'm going to go the Vikings.
So you don't? You're
and
not
they
a,
lost
you're
to
not
the
a
Gerhardt
Bridgewater.
To us.
You're not
I'm
a
not
Bridgewater
a Bridgewater
believer.
Fan. Small risks for Bridgewater.
I like it. None of us have the same choice for the laughing stock of the season. I went with Oakland.
I thought about that too.
It's going to be an easy pick. Most of the mock drafts, which I know there's mock drafts already for 2015, have Oakland picking first. So I'm going with Oakland.
Good one.
We'll go with, we'll keep it with the team. Which team is going to have the most drama? Blythe?
I think I got to go with stay in the NFC East and go Redskins. I think they're going to have a lot of trouble dealing with their naming situation throughout the entire year, and it's not going to stop.
That's a good point.
Boy, this is the one that would be really easy to say Cleveland on. And I really want to say Cleveland, but we've kind of thrown them out the window. So I'm thinking Redskins is another good choice, especially if RG3 can't stay healthy. Boy, I will go with... Can I take a pass and just go with Cleveland? I mean, I really...
I left Cleveland on, but I scratched them off. So, yes, you can.
Okay,
you can
I'm just going to go with Cleveland because drama. It's already
happening.
No one's
going to top them with drama.
It's exactly what I've written down, but just to be different, I will end up going with the Dolphins. They had so many problems in that locker room last year. I'm not sure
that's
that they
not
have
a bad choice either.
Yeah. Well, I had Cleveland. I scratched them out, though, and I put the Jets because they're always involved in something ridiculous.
What about them, too?
The Ryans. You're always involved in something.
Well, and there's now a quarterback kind of competition, controversy, whatever you want to call it. In New York again.
And I'm waiting week by week until they say, yeah, we're going to win the Super Bowl. Okay.
And then the finish
and then
with
never.
Five win.
All right. So how about player? Which player will have the most drama?
To me, this one's really easy. Richard Sherman for Seattle.
Ooh, I didn't even think of
that. He caused enough drama last season to last a lifetime. He does want it. So I'm going him.
That's a good call, but... I'm going to go Maurice Jones-Drew on this one. He's already created some drama in the offseason by saying he got a raw deal in Jacksonville, which I was just not a fan of because I think that this fan base has been nothing but fantastic to Maurice. I think he's going to deal with injuries. I think that he's not going to like having to sit. I think that he's probably not going to finish the season. I'm going to go Maurice Jones-Drew. I just think that we're going to see stories coming out of Oakland.
I really hope he's
MJD.
Not listening.
Blythe?
I think I'm going to go Peyton Manning. I think after last year, it's Super Bowl or bust this year.
Yep.
And he's really got to get that second ring. Otherwise, little baby brother is going to have the one up on him for a long time.
I really thought about putting him down. I obviously had Manziel because there's nobody else
of
to
course.
Put. But I put Geno Smith instead.
Good call.
For the fact that, obviously, you mentioned the quarterback controversy, and if he doesn't show up, then he seems to be like a bust that happened very fast. All right, comedy. Which player is going to have the worst, awful, horrendous season?
Does it have to be a starter? Because if not, I'm going Blaine Gabbert all the way.
Mine is not a starter, I don't believe, yet.
So all right, perfect.
Well, Gabbert is perfect.
Sorry, Blaine. I know it. Jaxel's given you nothing but grief over the last few years, but at the same time, that performance the other night was just gives us more fodder. So hilarious. Y'all laughed.
Man. I know. Well, I was going to say you kind of stole my thunder because Blaine Gabbert was the one player that I thought of when I thought of comedy after watching, especially that first preseason game where he had a quarterback rating of what, like 1.9? I mean, I could have a better quarterback rating than that. I mean, come on. But to think that Jacksonville got a sixth round pick for Blaine Gabbert, and I really thought a change of scenery. Honestly, I really thought a change of scenery might do him good. But he
You're
looks
singing
like
the Sheryl Crow song.
Maybe a little bit. But he looks like the same quarterback on the West Coast as he does on the East Coast, and that just seems to be a little bit of a problem for San Francisco.
The best part about that is watching Harbaugh's face whenever Gabbert starts. That is the best.
Wait, so is that the Harbaugh that wears the khakis from Walmart? And not that there's anything wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with that. But I just think I absolutely love that.
Blythe, your turn.
Oh, gosh. I love him, but I'm going to go MJD. I think he's going to have an awful season. I did not understand the move from Jacksonville to Oakland, except for the fact that he's closer to his hometown team. But outside of that, he's going to struggle this year. And the entire team is going to struggle. And it's all downhill for him.
Well, and Darren McFadden is, I don't know. He just also tends to be injury prone. I mean, when's the last time Darren McFadden made it through a healthy season? So obviously McFadden's going to be your starter in Oakland. MJD will go behind him. Is Oakland going to be able to make it through the season with a healthy running back?
Right.
Jury's out.
Well, for my awful season player, I went with, I don't know if he's going to be a starter, because who knows with this quarterback controversy going on in Philly, I went with Mark Sanchez. You cannot beat the butt fumble that occurred.
It was
however,
the SportsCenter top play for like
a year.
A whole year straight.
If somebody could beat that, he will beat it. So I'm expecting him to have the worst season. Just to end the Emmy NFLs, what I have, we're going to go with directing. That'll be best coach. Who's going to be your best coach this year?
Well, since you're looking at me and I get to go first, I'm totally taking Gus Bradley, of course. Come on. I knew someone else was going to try and say
it. I know. How can we not say Gus?
Right. Gus's motivation, his energy, his passion, his teaching mechanisms, I think are fantastic. I love everything about Gus Bradley, and I know he's listening. So, Gus, you get my vote.
Gus, we think you're the best. only to be different, because I want to say Gus Bradley, because watching the way that he's interacted with these players and the atmosphere that Gus and Dave and Shad and this coaching staff has created, it's been unbelievable. Talking to those players in the locker room and seeing the way that they respond to Gus and how they have bought in, I feel like we finally have the right people here in Jacksonville, and
absolutely,
I'm excited to see where it's going. But I'll give a shout out to who Gus learned under, Pete Carroll. He's obviously led the Seahawks to a ton of success, including that Super Bowl last year. I think Pete Carroll kind of sets the example for how Gus runs things. I mean, a most recent example being his philosophy on getting backup starting time with the ones. You know, he said that's something that he learned from Pete Carroll. He's modeling this team, this defense after Seattle. I think that Gus has just a huge amount of respect for Pete Carroll. And Pete Carroll has proven that he is not only a fantastic college coach, but a fantastic NFL coach as well.
I think I'm going to have to – I love Gus. I would pick him if Lauren didn't pick him already. But I think I'm going to go Andy Reid. I just really like the way he transitioned from Philly to the Chiefs last year, and they were the surprise team of the year. Seeing him in that big red jumpsuit also reminds me of the big Kool-Aid man too, so I love seeing that on the sideline.
You like the stash?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, Kansas City was surprising. They did not finish strong, but they started the season on fire. They obviously had the same record as the Jaguars the previous year, only 2 wins, and then turned things around and finished the season last year with what, I want to say 9 wins? Was it something like that? It was a pretty incredible turnaround, but not bad.
Well, I'm going to have to be the same as Lauren. I don't care. I am going Gus Bradley. I wrote it down. It's the first thought that came into my mind. There is no one with better charisma, and everyone says it when you watch the game. The commentators are like, it's really hard not to like him.
Right.
You just like him. And so I feel like that's going to really explode him up to the top of this coaching elite level. And I'm excited to see this year.
Yeah, well, you know who is about to implode, and he's only played two preseason games? Johnny Manziel. I mean, we talked about him last week, but I feel like we have to bring him up once again. After he flicked off the opposing team. Johnny, you cannot do stuff like this anymore. This is not college. This is not Texas A&M. This is not Kevin Sumlin anymore, which I'm sorry, I respect Kevin Sumlin, but I think Johnny Manziel walked a little bit all over Kevin Sumlin while he was at Texas A&M. I'm sure by now everyone has heard about it, but if you haven't, the Browns obviously played the Redskins the other night in their second preseason game of the season. Johnny Manziel, not only did he not have a great night, but he flicked off the Redskins.
Sideline.
Yeah, you cannot pull stuff like that anymore. And Lauren, once again, it just speaks to the immaturity level of Johnny Manziel.
Happy to say that I'm the only brunette in this room who said she would not date Johnny Manziel. Hey. You other two brunettes over there, okay. That's why
I said that, Donna Murphy. I said back in college.
Whoa, all I'm saying is I said I would not date him. He acts entitled. He's about to prove me right. And, I mean, I don't know if I threw that wonderfully wise thing out there that I, you know, totally was clairvoyant and I knew that he was going to prove me right. However, I'm sure I did. And, he acts like a complete clown. And I feel bad. I have pity for the city of Cleveland that that's who they got.
You know what? The Cavs just got LeBron James back, so I have no pity for the city of Cleveland because they're about to win an NBA title this year. So if their football team has to suffer, that's fine.
And by the way, Cecil and Chanel are huge,
Cleveland
originally
thing,
from Cleveland.
Sorry about
Ohio
that.
Fans. So.
Look, this for me stems back to, I think it was 2 years ago or last year for his final season at college when his dad came out with that article. Do you remember his dad? ESPN put it out there, or SI. I forgot which one
it was. SI.
SI. They came out, and to me, it just reeked of what a giant baby. I don't care what kind of talent he has. He told a story about golfing with his son, golfing with Johnny, so-called football. And he said, oh, well, he was just upset. So he sat in the cart and he put a towel over his head. That's crap.
That's what you do when you're two.
That is, yeah.
12.
JT hasn't put a towel over his head yet. So that all that reeked to me was what Cam Newton went through his first season, when he would get angry, when he would get upset, frustrated, and would go sit down by himself and put that towel over his head so no one can talk to him and he could vent by himself. So no thank you. To me, it was just ridiculous. And I am happy to not have to talk about him because we are in Jacksonville.
Yeah, unbelievable. All right, well, we'll wrap up Johnny Manziel talk, because when we return, we want to get it back to the Jaguars. We are going to introduce you to Chanel Shorts, wife of Cecil Shorts. She is going to join us next on Helmets and Heels. You are listening to 1010XL and 92.5 FM.
Helmets and Heels on 1010XL, 92.5 FM.
Welcome back to Helmets and Heels. I am Jessica Blaylock, Lauren Brooks, Donna Murphy, and Blythe Brumleave along for the ride. Well, you heard from Jaguar wide receiver Cecil Shorts earlier in the show, and now we're going to get to know his wife, Chanel, just a little bit better. Chanel, thanks so much for joining us.
You're welcome.
Chanel, I just want to start out, I absolutely love Cecil. He's one of my favorite players to talk to. He's such a great guy. He's always been so good to us. I want to know, how did you and Cecil meet? Because you guys have known each other for a while, right?
Yes, we've known each other for a while now. We met in college my freshman year. Just being around campus, both going to Mount Union, both athletes. So he was really good at football, obviously. And everyone talked about this number 10. Oh, number 10, he's so good. Oh, number 10. And I was like, I don't really know. I'm a freshman, you know, and I play ball, so I didn't have a chance to go to a lot of the football games, so I only heard about him. And then I knew Cecil. So then when I put two and two together, I was like, oh, that's number 10. So from then on, we just fit in and out of each other's lives and just building a family now and doing
the rest is history.
Yeah.
It all ended up working out.
Mm-hmm.
So what was the one thing about him that you really liked?
It was his manners. He was very mannerable. Like, he would call me miss. He would open the door. He would go out his way to make sure I was comfortable, just knowing that I was a freshman on campus. He was just really nice. We would, you know, he would ask me small things like, you want to, hey, you getting up, going to workouts at 5 a.m.? Hey, you want to go to breakfast? And he would just go out his way to make me feel comfortable. And I really enjoy that.
That sounds sweetheart. Like Cecil. I know. That's not a surprise at all.
That's some great upbringing right there.
Yes.
That's awesome. Well, obviously, we just mentioned that you've known him for a long time. Do you have any story that is your favorite about him?
I think there's something that has lingered on. He's always last out of the locker room after the game. And I thought, like, oh, yeah, college. So, you know, he goes in and he does what he needs to do. No, it's still the same way. I'm the last one to sit in the lobby with kids running around. Just like, me just hanging out, like, okay. But he would, my dorm would be like, it's like right next to the locker room. So I would be like, okay, give me a hug and kiss. I'm going to go back to my dorm. And it would be like, I would sit there and get done homework before he called me, like, hey, I'm out of the locker room. So that's one thing that's always funny to me that I noticed that kind of followed us from college to the league, was that he just takes his time. And now he's like, oh, now we got the media, and then I had to like do treatment. So now I was like, I'm like, so what'd you used to do in college?
I know. You know what? If I see Cecil in the locker room after games, which of course I always will, I'm going to be like watching that clock. I'll be like, Cecil, Chanel's waiting. Yeah. Those kids are waiting. You got to get out there.
Like, wait a minute now.
Chanel, we always see that on NFL draft day, these big elaborate setups whenever guys are about to get drafted. What was it like for you and Cecil on draft day?
Well, I was pregnant, so I didn't make the draft party. So he was in Cleveland, and they had a really nice party for him throughout the whole time. He's texting me and keeping me updated. It was really, really nice. I was in tears the whole time. I was pregnant. So I was so happy for him. And when his name came across that screen, I mean, you could hear the dorms just going upward, because I was at Mount Union.
Oh, that's incredible.
So
awesome.
He was at home, and I was at Mount Union watching the draft, and his picture came up, and I just sat there and I cried. I was so happy for him. It was good. I'm almost in tears again. It was a big day for him, because I know how hard he works.
Right.
You know, he's not like any other athlete. Like, he worked hard. He stayed summers and after practice. There were times where in college he like missed dinner to stay and watch film for the games that they played on Saturday. He just worked really hard.
Right.
So to see his dream come true was awesome.
And that Union's such a small school.
Yes.
That's,
I mean,
you know,
literally, I was
insane.
In a dorm with three floors, and you just heard everyone go, oh, there's these. It was awesome. I had goosebumps all up down me. It was awesome.
I know.
It was awesome. I mean, we had people running up and down the hallways, and I just sat there. You know, I was pregnant. It was April, and I was having them in May, so that's why I didn't travel home.
So you went running.
Right. Yeah, so I was not running. I was just trying to. And, like, I could feel baby C moving because of how just my body was
how excited
reacting.
You were.
Yeah, it was awesome.
And then you popped the champagne right after that?
Everybody else was going out. I was like, oh, my God.
Well, Cecil's not the only one that works hard. You work hard, too,
thank
obviously.
You very much.
I mean,
thank
you're
you.
A mom of two. You've followed Cecil's dream alongside him. What has been the most challenging part of being not only an NFL wife, but an NFL mom as well?
I think for the most part, it's just the stability part of it. Just having to be there not only for Big C, but for Baby C, because he's older now. So he knows, like, when Dad leaves, going to work, when he doesn't come home because it's training camp, it tears him apart. Mm-hmm. So just having to be strong for him and knowing that he's doing it all for the right things. You know, because he could be elsewhere, but, you know, he's there working for our family, so I just try to install that in Baby C, like, hey, Daddy's going to work, you know, so that we can live the way we do. So let's just be more grateful for him leaving than sad. So I just try to flip that for him and make sure I would come to practice every day so he could see Pay, you know, just so they could have that bond and relationship. She knows who
Peyton
he is.
Peyton is adorable, by
Thank
the way.
You.
Oh, my goodness. She looks just like her daddy, too.
Thank you. I hear that.
She's pretty like a mama too.
Thank you.
Yes.
That's what everybody say. Like, no, she looks like her dad.
She does.
For people who don't know, baby C is 3, and Peyton is what, 7 months old now?
Yes, she's 7 months.
She's so cute.
Thank
All
you.
Right. So, what would you say is the biggest misconception about NFL wives?
Oh my gosh, that is so glamorous. People tell me all the time, like, oh my God, girl, I would kill to be married to an NFL player. I'm like, you can have it. Anytime. I love what my husband does. I love what he does for us. I appreciate him so much because every time he goes out on Sunday, there's a chance that that could be it for him.
Right.
And people don't understand how serious this is for us. You know what I mean? At any point in time, we may not be here.
Right.
We have to uproot a whole family and move all over. So people don't really understand what we go through just being an NFL wife and him playing in the NFL. And people think it's all just so glamorous, but it's not.
I remember a couple seasons ago, I mean, very recently, LaRon Robinson, a fellow mm-hmm. receiver who dealt with concussions. Mm-hmm. And I remember talking to him and him telling me, look, I've had a serious conversation with my wife. Mm-hmm. We have kids mm-hmm. about whether to even continue playing this game because mm-hmm. that's how serious it
Seriously.
Can be.
I mean, and at the end of the day, people don't realize like some of the stuff that they go through causes us as wives to have to eventually take care of our husbands.
Right.
Because of how serious some of the stuff that they go through, the concussions Cecil has had, you know, one more and that could be something that could end his career. And people don't understand. Like, yeah, you come and watch the game, but the preparation and the things they go through,
right.
they put their bodies through and our family through. It's just, I just wish that some people could understand before they say some of the things they say when it comes to
right.
the football players and
right.
stuff.
Yeah, because that's got to be hard.
Yeah, it is. It's not as easy as it seems.
The one thing I'll give Cecil credit for, I've covered this team now for 5 years. I mean, obviously Cecil for the past few seasons. I've really only seen him in a bad mood maybe once. Mm-hmm. Maybe once, mm-hmm. if you could even consider it a bad mood. Is Cecil always that happy-go-lucky at home? I mean, he just seems like such a happy guy.
Mm. He is a good guy.
This is what
my
means the live video stream, by the way. So conventional space.
He is a good guy. What my husband is going to do is he's going to make sure everyone around him is happy. He's going to make sure that everyone who approaches him understands him. He's going to make sure that everyone knows that you're welcome. Although, like, for example, if he's walking out of practice and there's fans standing there and he has me and the kids, he'll say, hey, thanks for coming, but I'm with my family. I'm not going to sign autographs today. Where some people are like, no, I'm not going to sign autographs today. Mm-hmm. He at least says thank you for coming. You know, he's just a really nice guy.
So very genuine.
At the end of the day, he's going to swallow what he's going through.
Right.
You know, approach you with a happy face and
right.
then deal what he's dealing with in private, which is something that I think is huge because some people don't really know how to do that.
Absolutely.
And he's only 26 years old. You know, so that's something that we learn over years. He's only been in the league for 4 years, you know, so.
I know, yeah, we use the term veteran about him so often in Jacksonville because we have so many young receivers. Mm-hmm. And like you said, he's only 26.
He's only 26.
And he plays with a maturity level mm-hmm. and carries himself with a maturity mm-hmm. level. I think of a guy that's been in the league mm-hmm. for 9 or 10 years.
Yeah, I mean, he has to because I hold him to a higher standard than most would because I think highly of him. I want the best out of him. So, you know, even when we're together and there's certain things, we always challenge one another so that we can be the best we can be together. You know, so I'm happy that you guys noticed that although he's going through a lot, he can put on a happy face because
right.
that's something we do work hard at.
That's awesome.
So, yeah.
Well, the lovely Chanel is joining us, wife of Cecil Shorts. Chanel, you are a mom of two, and I'm disappointed because I thought that they were both going to be here.
I'm sorry. That's
okay. That's all right. You got to deal with my little one. So what's your favorite thing about being the mom?
I think for the most part, I was actually thinking about this today. I think it's just being able to wake up to my kids every day and to take care of them and to make dinner and have my son say, hey, mom, can you give me some more? That was good. Just the small things like that, being able to provide and see smiles on their face, you know, I have a chance to spend all day with my daughter. For some people, that's a burden. You know, mm-hmm. like, oh, man, I got to take care of these kids.
Right. Yeah.
But for me, that is a blessing to me to be able to watch her grow every single day. You know, I just, it's nothing like it.
I mean, I completely understand. I was just telling the girls earlier during the break, I go with, you know, my husband's in the military, and okay. with him being gone, it can be difficult. But I said, I love this. It is so much fun.
It's different. It's different than any relationship you'll ever have with anyone. Like, I can't compare my relationship with my kids with any other relationship in my life.
Yep.
And it's really, it's a blessing. I love it. It was hard in the beginning because I was in college.
Right.
When I had baby C. And I had him my whole senior year while my husband went away to play football. And I was like, oh, my gosh, what am I going to do with this kid, you know? Yeah. And now me and baby C, like, we're, like, best friends. Like,
yep.
We travel to the games together. We had, like, we have a different type of bond that I could never, I couldn't explain to you if I wanted to.
It's perfect. I love it.
You just mentioned that you bring your son to a lot of the practices and a lot of the games. You're one of the few wives that actually does show up to a lot of the practices. What's your favorite part about coming to the practices?
I think when my husband looks over and waves to us.
Do you guys ever practice throwing off to the side or anything?
No, we should. We don't. I think, but I enjoy the practices. Everyone is so nice, and I get to see Lauren and Jessica. So, you know, I enjoy coming and just being relevant. And I had a few people say to me, you still go to the practices and he's hurt? Well, I still go to the games and stuff when he plays, so why wouldn't I be here when he's hurt? You know, that's just a given to me that I would be there for him through everything. So for them to ask me that, I was like, yeah.
And we can vouch for you. I mean, we see you out
like,
there.
I'm like, yeah, I'm
going to
be there.
In the heat. Time.
Yeah. I'm going to get my little Gatorade. I'm going to sit over here. And I'm going to play with Pay. And we're going to sit here until my husband's done. You know, it's just that's just a given to me. So I guess this is a part of being married and being loyal.
And it's going to support the team, too.
Yeah.
I mean,
right.
Those are his teammates.
Yeah,
they're like family when, you know, you fight for each other.
Yeah, I don't mind it.
You know what? I'll tell you, though. You always manage to look so gorgeous in that heat while meanwhile, I'm like sweating and my skin is breaking out and everything is going wrong. You always look so beautiful, but you used to be a model.
I did.
Can you please give us some tips for maybe like skincare or makeup so that things can turn out a little bit better for me at the end of training camp?
I just would say just as far as your skin, get a regimen. Like, make sure you do the same thing for your skin every day. So, for example, if it's you wash your face every evening when you get out of the shower, just make sure you clean your skin and take good care of it. Exfoliate. Just take good care of it. You know what I mean? I went to MAC to get my makeup. Don't use the cheap stuff because you guys have to have it on a lot. So
right.
You want to make sure it caters to your skin. So just that's my advice for you as far as makeup. And then wear styles that are cute but are comfortable. So, for example, if wearing your hair down on your neck makes you hotter, don't wear it like that. Wear it in a cute bun. Wear it in a nice braid. You
with
know,
cute bandana twisted
yes,
on top.
The bun on the top, a nice little band around the edges to keep your edges, you know, keep the sweat from falling. Stuff like that. Just you could still be cute and not have to wear your hair down. That's what I learned. It's just like, because my hair makes me hotter.
Me
just
too.
Just being on my
me
neck.
Too.
So I make sure I try to pull it up cute, twist it on the side, or do something to it so I don't have to always wear it down. You still can look elegant like you're at work. Still be kind of cool.
Like Audrey Hepburn.
So what do you typically wear to a game?
I usually wear my Jaguar shirt or tank top.